Willkommen zurück im All About Voice Podcast. Diesmal ist es nur Max. Tim kann oder konnte leider nicht teilnehmen am Interview mit Patrick Givens, weil er ja im positiven Stress war für die All About Voice Konferenz und hier noch viele wichtige Dinge erledigen musste. Wir haben jetzt die All About Voice Konferenz gerade hinter uns gelassen. Sehr, sehr spannende Insights in die Entwicklung von Sprache und speziell auch Sprachassistenten mit wirklich hochinteressanten Gästen und schließen sozusagen hier jetzt direkt an mit einem sehr, sehr spannenden Gast, Patrick Givens, dem ja Leiter der Voice-Sparte, kann man so schon sagen, bei VaynerMedia, eine sehr bekannte Digitalagentur aus New York, vielen bekannt eben durch den Gründer Gary Vaynerchuk, der das Thema Voice und Sprachassistenten natürlich extrem prägt, auch über die verschiedenen Kanäle. Und dementsprechend wollten wir mal eben die Meinung hören aus der Agentur aus New York, eben mal verstehen, wie sie das Thema auch in den Staaten angreifen. Und sehr, sehr spannendes Interview, viel Spaß dabei und verlinkt uns doch gerne auf Twitter, All About Voice oder auch Tim und mich, Max Elster und Kale bei Twitter und haltet uns auf dem Laufenden, wie ihr die Episode findet. Einfach auch mal kurz als Einschub, dass wir auch mal ein englisches Interview haben. Deswegen viel, viel Spaß bei der Episode und dann bis zur nächsten. Welcome back in the All About Voice Pet Podcast. My name is Max. Tim Kale is not going to join today because he is in deep work for the All About Voice Conference, which is happening next week in Munich. A lot of you guys know about it. Nevertheless, we have a very interesting guest today, all the way from New York, all the way from the United States, to talk with us a little bit about the voice field and about how they are impacting the voice field. We have Patrick Givens here, who is one of the leading guys at VaynerMedia with the focus on voice technologies, especially a voice assistant. So very happy to have you here. Very happy to talk about the voice field, about the niche topic, and great to chat, Patrick.
Thanks so much. Yeah, really glad to be on and speaking with you and looking forward to it.
Fantastic. I mean, you are quite some hours behind. Nevertheless, that doesn't make a difference talking about voice and how VaynerMedia and how you approach the topic. And maybe for the listeners, nevertheless, where they are from, maybe you can give a little insight who you are and what your role is at VaynerMedia in regards to the topic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, well, by title, I'm the vice president of a group called VaynerSmart. So I actually founded the group just about 3 years ago, and we're a division within VaynerMedia. So for anyone who's not familiar at the VaynerMedia level, we're a full service digital marketing company, everything from upstream strategy, production, creative development, that nature, but also media planning and media buying. So really trying to take a bit more vertically integrated and what we'd say is a bit more of a modern approach to marketing. And that means having control all along the system, a bit more of a closed system, where we want to make sure that everything we're doing from a strategic point of view is directed at operating where attention actually is today, as opposed to some of the legacy channels where we see things as overpriced and less efficient and effective. The places where we spend our time are those where we see attention as underpriced, where we see it as addressable. And then that's true at the VaynerMedia level. And then for the group that I lead, VaynerSmart, we're focused on what are the next set of channels that are going to meet that criteria. So we're the emerging tech group. As we'll be discussing today, we focus quite a lot on the new voice AI platforms. We also do interactive packaging, interactive retail systems, augmented reality, all sorts of new channels that as an agency, we want to explore, build capabilities around, and then eventually that we expect to be meaningful and big volume marketing channels for our clients, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years.
Interesting. I mean, that's very horizontal also from like an outstanding perspective. You are acting in very different ways. Of course, VaynerMedia started with the whole digital marketing and a social media agency and then covered now new technologies, as you mentioned. How is voice, like from like prioritizing it, how is voice subjected in the field of your company? Like, is it more important than AR? Is voice like the priority number one? How would you disclaim the topic?
Sure. Yeah. So I'd look at it in two ways. One being volume of our work and priority of focus today. And two being where, as we plan, honestly, even into 2019 in the very near future, but moving forward from there. So starting with where the focus is today, most of the volume of work we do, most of the spend from our clients, and most of the focus of our energies is actually in more of your social marketing and across other digital channels today. So we do quite a lot still distributed over Facebook, and Instagram, Snapchat, platforms like that. They offer bigger audience reach and really great targeting capabilities when we're talking about how to push out a message to a targeted audience and engage the right set of audience, the right consumers for a given brand. So in that context, and where our focus is today from the volume of the agency, it is more on those channels that have those targeting capabilities. But as we start projecting forward, we, and honestly anyone out in the space, can see some of the emerging trend of how much of attention is moving toward audio. Some of the latest numbers we have here in the States are anywhere from 1 in 5 to a quarter of U.S. adults, depending on which survey you look to, having purchased a smart speaker. And actually now we're all the way up to 65% of those smart speaker purchases happening just in the last 6 months. So when you start to look at adoption trends of just the speaker technology, let alone the platforms, which we can get into in a minute, they are not only very rapid, they're actually historically unprecedented. They are being bought and adopted. And this is true of the US, but we're seeing, though a year to maybe 18 month lag, a lot of the same adoption happening across a lot of European markets. It's happening faster even than smartphones. And if we think about our focus in marketing today, everything we think about is mobile first, and we want to be accessible where consumers are and where they're spending time and engaging. That is absolutely where we see attention trending. You can look at any number of indicators from the smart speaker purchases I was mentioning to time spent engaged with digital audio since 2008. Again, these are US numbers, but we're up from, in 2008, it was a little over 6 hours per week spent engaged in digital audio. In 2018, it's all the way up to 13 and a half hours per week. Oh, wow.
So more than doubled.
Exactly, yeah. And so, and even outside of the numbers, just thinking about this in your own lives, the quality of headphone technology, how much better that is, how much more portable and easy, how much easier it is to go about your day with little earbuds and Bluetooth headphones following you around, better speakers in the home, the quality of sound around us as we go, and the shrinking of that hardware and dispersal of it. I think the other part that we see as really important in voice is moving from those built-in speakers, and I'm talking mostly about the Amazon Echo suite of hardware and the Google Home suite of hardware there, although other markets have some different platforms in play. Mm-hmm. And those are critical. That's where we're seeing the most usage today. But think about that on Google Assistant. You're really looking at every Android handset as a distribution point. And increasingly, we're seeing everything from the new Bose noise-canceling headphones running Alexa and Google Assistant as well. Just a couple weeks ago with the big Android hardware, or I'm sorry, not Android, the big Alexa hardware announcements, everything from microwaves that work with Alexa to the launch of the Echo Auto and the beginnings of Alexa running as an aftermarket part in cars. We'd already started to see some of the car manufacturers building these platforms into their operating systems, but the ability for consumers at home to, for, you know, looking at the Garmin or Anker aftermarket parts, go as cheap as $30, $40 and suddenly be running Alexa from their car on the road completely changes the context of adoption that we're thinking about. It's no longer a matter of having bought this speaker, set it up in your kitchen or living room and sitting at home having conversations, but we could actually start to distribute these experiences in a way that people are accessing them when sitting in traffic, and talking and getting some work done perhaps, but maybe it's also having listening to some of the more recent content that we've published, or searching for nearby locations, planning ahead a grocery list, all this sort of stuff, where voice is going to become, on one side, kind of an omnipresent UI. It's just going to be an interface that's always accessible and can be invoked whenever people want. And then the weight on us now is to think, okay, with this new channel and this new interface, what are the right experiences for our clients to be offering in that channel? What do they need to think about for voice search, as we have projections of upwards of 50% of search happening by voice by 2020? Great. What does a mobile and mobile first voice strategy look like in addition to just mobile search? So lots of questions this raises for lots of brands, and we're trying to position ourselves at the forefront of thinking about those questions and helping to advise them and then also actually helping to get things built and tested.
Right. Love it. I mean, you mentioned so many different things, which just underlines how the whole voice field is emerging and how actually it's emerging in so many different technology fields that are already on the market. I mean, if you watch also the BMW publishment where they say they will also have their own assistant, but also combining it with Alexa and Google to make the whole car experience even more nice and even more integrated into the whole system of a car. And I think it will just emerge in very different technologies, and that's what makes it very interesting. And also to see where Vayna comes from and also what you guys focus on, what do you think, how do you, like you mentioned that a lot of brands also coming to you to ask how they can jump on the voice movement. What are like approaches that you already have in mind now? What are you doing now to understand voice for your customers, but also to integrate maybe brands on voice assistants or on voice platforms? And what do you think will be the next steps in that regard?
Right. So when we speak with clients, oftentimes there's a very high level question to us of a recognition that voice seems important. It seems like this is going to matter, but complete open question of, okay, so what to be done? So we've tried to stretch ourselves to a range of services, a range of ways we can engage with clients based on their level of interest and appetite in the space, how committed they are, and really provide value all along the chain. So what we look at is everything from very upstream education. So we will engage with clients on educational curriculum for their organization. Sometimes that's leadership boot camps. It might be just a day long. Sometimes it could be as much as a few months with a curriculum where we do weekly or biweekly sessions that are perhaps just with leadership teams, or sometimes they're distributed out to the whole organization. And it's covering a bunch of these different topics that we've touched on, everything from size of the space and adoption and where the interface is evolving, but also voice first search, the evolution of voice commerce, experience design, all these kind of questions, and doing a curriculum around that. So we've got the education piece. Mm-hmm. We've also then got a step more applied in the strategy side of things. So, okay, great. Once we've built a base level understanding through that education, what is the strategic approach and what is the process to have an organized and purposeful approach into this new space for a given client? And so that can be opportunity assessment and some of that strategy. It can also come down to doing some of the same brand strategy work that we've been doing for years in other channels. So think about defining an audio identity. I think many brands and many marketers probably have a very good sense of what they would call their brand identity, but oftentimes that's very much, if not exclusively, visual. It might have some guidelines for copy and tonality, but in most cases, brands haven't really defined what they sound like. And suddenly we're talking about all the stats I was quoting earlier with more and more attention going to audio first, or a lot of cases audio only channels, and there is no visual there. But so if I don't have the colors or the logo to cue me in terms of a brand and recall drivers, all those pieces that we've been working forever in visual channels, what can I rely on? And increasingly it's going to need to be defined audio identity, signatures that we hear and they call to mind all that equity that's been accumulated that we've been relying on visuals to do for a while. So working strategically on that side, and then all the way out to the executional side. We do quite a lot in terms of experience design and builds of interactive experiences, Alexa skills and Google Actions for brands. So some of the notable brands we've worked with and disclosed publicly, JPMorgan Chase is a major client. We were named their voice agency of record at the start of 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was a really exciting moment for us because it not only indicated their commitment to exploring the space and really defining a broader strategy, but also ensured that we were going to be engaged not just as executional partners, which is great. We've done work with them and others starting on a specific experience, designing and building that. And we love that type of work. But it's great to get engaged a little more upstream and help them think through that strategy for the space and then develop the executions to bring that strategy to life and progress along that process kind of more in the way that we would like to, or that often we would in other channels. And so they've been a great client and the continuing partnership. I've done quite a lot across the Diageo Spirits portfolio, first with Johnny Walker Whiskey, and then more recently evolving that out to a skill called Happy Hour that is sort of covering their whole portfolio and more about the occasion of getting friends together at home for a drink and to have a bit of a party, as opposed to only the brand focus, which we can talk a little about Johnny Walker on. Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch has been a great one. And then we've got a number of others in progress right now that should be launching many of them in just the next month or two.
Great. Lovely. I mean, that's it's great to hear. I mean, of course, JP Morgan, Johnny Walker, Budweiser, all those names are definitely known to almost everybody. I think even though JP Morgan acts in the financial space, they are one of the most famous brands. And I think it's very interesting how the whole banking and financial scene is going to jump on the voice field, since it's since especially the financial part is very very dangerous, maybe in some way, and also maybe very security driven. And I think maybe voice can also solve a lot of problems there and make transactions more efficient. So let's see how that's gonna continue. Maybe to deep dive a little here, because I think you have lots of stories to tell in here on your clients. For example, if we start with the Johnny Walker one, how was your approach? Because you just said the idea actually behind it was that people come together and have a drink and they are supported by the Alexa skill, which is, of course, then hosted by Johnny Walker. What have you learned from actually working with them and developing the skill for them?
Yeah, so that was actually a really interesting process for us, where the Johnny Walker version of the experience was the very first Alexa skill that we as an agency ever produced. And this was back in 2016. And it came from a brief from the client that was not at the start focused on voice at all. It was actually built on more of a traditional business aim. It was trying to scale a program that they had seen successful results in limited volume, and could they actually expand this out? So Johnny Walker is a scotch, but it's a blend. And it's one that for the brand, it's a goal to try and introduce the brand to a new generation of scotch drinkers. Mm-hmm. And many scotch drinkers, as they're getting started, know very little about the category. It's, you know, it's like going to a wine tasting. There's so much depth and information that you can dive into, but sure, most people have no idea. And so if there's one thing people know about scotch, it's often the term single malt. And single malt becomes, for people with no other information, an indicator of quality. Johnny Walker is not a single malt. It's a blend. And so they have this initial challenge of, for folks who don't know anything about, not even the brand, but the category, convincing them that there actually is a level of quality and craftsmanship in that blending. And they'd seen great success over the years in doing guided tastings in person. They have a master of whiskey, get a small group of people together, walk them through tastings of the labels. And then after this experience, people leave that and just love the brand. They go and tell their friends about it. They wind up buying more for greater lifetime value of those shoppers. And it's understandable, right? If you spend a little time understanding the brand and the products, and then actually also the masters of whiskey are really delightful. They've got a lot of humor in the way they bring it about. They're fun people, and it's a good time. So people leave this with a great association with the brand. And that's been
also with the experience, right? With the experience that is covered with it?
Exactly, yeah. The guided whiskey tastings is really what it is, and they're great. And so after having seen success with this for a few years, the brand said, okay, VaynerMedia, can you help us think about how we could scale this guided whiskey tasting experience? You know, in-person whiskey tastings are capped at about 10 people. I don't know the number, but something, you're not going to get many more than 10 people around a table. Right. And there's not very many masters of whiskey. So while these things are super impactful, we can't do that many of them. And is there a way that we can get this out to more people around the world? And so we started looking at it and said, well, certainly there's lots of ways to scale this experience. The fastest thing would be probably do a video or an interactive video experience and push it out over social channels. And we did try that out. And what we found was, when just recording and distributing the video, while it reached tons of people and was, I think, did some of the work that the interactive session might do, you also were sacrificing a lot of impact. People were being much more receptive and they weren't engaged in the same way just because of the nature of the medium. It was about sitting back and listening instead of asking questions and steering the experience yourself. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to check out other channels. And so we tried actually at launch, both Amazon Alexa and Facebook Messenger. We did versions of translation of that whiskey tasting experience. And so for Johnny Walker, and this is still live for any of the listeners, give it a try yourself. Just ask Alexa to open Johnny Walker. And if you've got a bottle at home, then you can pick which label you have. And we're going to guide you through an interactive tasting, talk to you about why is the coloring different in that label? What are the scents that you might be smelling? What are the taste? Give you some kind of fun facts along the way about the brand, its history, and that spirit itself. So really interesting one. You wind up leaving it with a lot of cool information. It's a good time. Or for many people at home who don't have a bottle yet, then there's just a basic introduction to the brand and help them pick which label is going to be right for them. How much are they willing to spend? What are they looking for in the flavor profile? And there's, you know, 7, 8, 9 labels of Johnny Walker, something like that. And we're walking them through all the options, helping them pick the one that's right for them and go buy a bottle. So that was where we started back in 2016. It's evolved over the years. I think anything that you see in this space at launch is going to be a pilot. And we're all about building learnings and iterating on what we see at market. So from the moment we launched that experience, we were deeply engaged in analytics, looking at where along the experience were people dropping off, what decisions were they making. And if you watch the flow of the conversations, people gravitating toward one portion of the content or staying away from another. And so we've continued to iterate on it over the years through 2016 and 2017, adding more labels, moving it also over to Google Assistant. So now we're on both of those platforms. And then into 2018, where we said, okay, based on the positive traction we've seen on this one brand, now we've moved on to the new skill and spread it out to something called Happy Hour. So that's Diageo has many other brands in addition to Johnny Walker. And so we wanted something more tied to the occasion. And this one, Happy Hour, is really about what are the components of getting together for a drink with friends that make it great. Well, first off, you want to make sure you have the right drink. So we've got some good recipe options in there to match to the occasion, what you're trying and what spirit you have. You want to foster good conversation. So we've got some nice suggestions for cheers with the group and conversation guiding there. And then over time, we're going to be folding in some activities you can do while getting together. What are some good games to play around the table, stuff that people can enjoy while hanging out? And really trying to provide as much as we can to facilitate just a nice time at home with some friends.
Right. I love it. I mean, that's also, I think, especially in such an emotional topic like drinking whiskey with friends. So I think voice can be such a good use case, especially if people are not aware of the brand and they can actually learn more about it in a very easy and productive and efficient way. And I think that's a very cool approach to say, okay, you actually bring people together. You do a live whiskey wine tasting, however you want to call it. In this case, it's a whiskey tasting via voice, because maybe there aren't any video equipment tools around, or people just don't want to use video for it, and they can just use a voice assistant or any voice platform to make the process as easy as possible. And also with the experience, I think it's amazing how you approached it. Maybe I'm aware that you can't deep dive too much into like the data and the numbers, but how, like, from your feeling, how did customers engage with it, and how does the brand behind it also became more interested afterwards in the whole voice field? Because I think there are lots of brands in our podcast listeners who are also thinking about doing certain experiences with voice, and maybe they're not aware yet how it can come back to them in regards to numbers and sales or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. So I think in the example of Johnny Walker and then into Happy Hour, we were trying, obviously, to give scale to a pretty deep and impactful experience. And so the reason to even use this channel as a pilot here was to try to broadcast out the ability to engage with us, but it can't be compared just to broadcast media. You could always pay your way with paid placements to more impressions, right? To greater reach. What we were trying to solve here is a part of a marketing ecosystem. It's not the reach driver, but it's actually the deeper, more engaged experience. And so we were conscious, actually, when we set up our KPIs, our measurement criteria at the beginning of the experience, that while just number of raw users was important, we wanted to capture that and see how many people used it, we were actually not measuring success just based on raw number of users. We held ourselves to a couple of different standards, one of which was having folks participate to the point that we could consider them having engaged in mentorship. And for us, that meant going several steps into the experience. So not just saying, Alexa, open Johnny Walker and registering as a session, but actually having an exchange back and forth, going 2, 3, 4 steps into that exchange. So whether it was picking which label was right for them, we don't just want them to choose a label in terms of begin that experience. We actually want them to have a couple exchanges back and forth and get the information that they came for. Mm-hmm. The same on the guided tastings. It's not sufficient for us just that they know it's there, but we actually want them to have had an exchange or two. And so we're measuring not just on number of raw users, but on number who progress into the experience, and also importantly on those that return. So great if they come and use it once and get some value out of it. We'd like to evaluate our design of the experience by how many come back and try it again, and hopefully have found it fun. And so without going into the specific numbers, you can see that from that launch in 2016, we've obviously continued to come back and reinvest multiple times in the platform, porting it to other channels, expanding out into this new experience. So something that we're certainly seeing a nice return on that experience. And it's been one that really offers a new way to think about engaging a different set of customers who might not be the ones who make it to an in-person whiskey tasting in one of the, you know, relatively few areas where they're offered, but this expands the access to that. And then I'd actually flip that around, and just as a different example, mm-hmm. I mentioned Budweiser before. That's a brand, again, in the alcohol category, but very different skill experience there, where I mentioned the Johnny Walker and happy hour experiences. It's about depth. It's about impact. For Budweiser, this was actually a very simple experience that we designed that was purely meant to align to a moment in time where they were bringing back a classic ad campaign. And this was a little extension that went from, it's not about depth of engagement. It offers the room to explore, but it was really about repeatability and fun. So for any of the listeners that remember the classic Bud campaign from almost 20 years ago now, that was up and the guys all screaming at each other, watching the game, the Budweiser brought that ad campaign back for a little while this year in the States. They did a month or so of rerunning that classic ad.
Oh yeah.
And so, so we wanted to give people a little bit more to play with. If they saw this thing, remember that was funny. So if they go say, Alexa, open Budweiser, it's going to be the guys from the spot coming back and forth with them with what's up, and user can get into it. Yeah. And so nothing.
Can a user also get into interaction here, or is it only based on like a message?
Yeah. No, the user can get into it, can do it on Alexa as well. So yeah, it's a simple skill. Anybody at home can try it. Just Alexa, open Budweiser. You'll hear a little message from the brand, an introduction to what's going on, and then you and the guys get into it back and forth. Really fun, really simple, not about the depth of going through a whole education session, but just a little quick thing to play with. And I think that's an important part of when we think about voice. There is definitely not just one model that'll work. It's much more like thinking about mobile or even just digital in general, where it is a way to engage with all sorts of experiences. And in voice, we're just very early today. It's only been around a few years that we've been doing this type of experience design. So we're really exploring all different kinds of models and seeing what they can offer. And to your earlier point, you were mentioning on the JPMorgan Chase, there's certainly a lot of different ways that company and the different lines of business within it are going to engage with their customers over voice. There's the utilitarian banking, managing of accounts, making transactions, things of that nature. None of that is live yet. They're still working through compliance concerns with the platforms and making sure that we're all comfortable with the level of security around that. Yeah. But in the meantime, some of the things they can do are publish thought leadership. There's a market insight skill available on Alexa, and you'll see more and more of this in the thought leadership space coming out, where it is giving investment advice, giving analysis of the market on a regular basis, and offering some of this great, it's really a new channel for content marketing in that sense. It's some of the great information that the company was already producing, but generally publishing on a website and honestly not getting the kind of engagement that I think that content merits. It's really good stuff. It's really smart analysis and stuff that professionals in the space seek out, but investors at home or even advisors, financial advisors, just may not know where to find it. And so really part of what we're doing is taking the good information and good content they're already building and bringing it to a new channel and making it accessible all over the place.
Right. I can also recommend it. I've also listened to it before, and I really like the approach of JP Morgan using voice as a new tool. Maybe just as a follow-up question here, a short one, since you guys also know the whole marketing world very well, in regards to voice, lots of companies are complaining that it's quite difficult to find their Alexa skills or their Google actions. Do you think it's still very important to connect social media or could connect any media form with the voice skills or voice actions companies are building? Do you think there needs to be an interaction that is somehow supporting each other? Or do you think voice alone helps just to, or voice alone is sufficient enough that people can find, for example, the JP Morgan skill? Or do you think they need to connect it with social media at the beginning, especially in today's world?
Yeah, whether social media or elsewhere, you definitely need to get the message out that you're offering these experiences, right? So we talk about it as driving discovery. And we do recommend social channels for that. We also would look, depending on the platform where the skill is, you know, you could, if it's running on Alexa, there are certainly Amazon media products to be had there. There's search options on Google or even sort of search within Amazon in certain contexts. But regardless of where you're going to do that promotion, it's critical that people know the experience exists. Really, if you think about any of these interactive experiences, what we're doing is facilitating the answer of questions more than anything. Mm-hmm. We are, if you sitting at home could ask Alexa or Google Assistant an infinite number of questions, there's a certain set of those that the platform has answers to itself. They're called top-level intents, and that's anything from what's the weather outside to what time is it, some functional things, can you set an alarm for me, set a timer, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that comparatively small set of functionality that the platform has itself, the native stuff it can do, the rest of the world of possible questions is the territory that we're exploring when we say, okay, for a brand, where should you start? So it's all a prioritization exercise. It's figuring out what are the most important and relevant questions that we can then develop answers for, and great. So then we designed one in the case of Johnny Walker. We decided that one of those was guiding them through understanding and appreciating whiskey and a series of questions around that. In the case of Budweiser, it's a simple, fun question of, can I play more with this great campaign from the past that I remember? In the case of JP Morgan, it questions around what is going on with the markets. Give me a little advice about markets and how to think about investing. Great. So we've looked at three areas of answers. But if I don't tell a user or the possible customer base out there that these brands are ready to answer those questions, then we're really left to what is the likelihood that they happen to ask for it and then in fact ask for us by name. So would someone at home ask JP Morgan for market insights? Maybe. They might think that's such a notable brand that's so close to their core equity and what they're known for. Perhaps someone at home would ask for it. But we're certainly going to see a lot more engagement if we broadcast the fact that we are there to answer that question and that they should ask not just for how's the market doing, but try to ask JP Morgan for that. Same with the case of Johnny Walker or with Budweiser. We've got to tell people that we're there to answer these questions and to be a response for them. And then increasingly, the platforms are evolving all the time and they're getting better at organic matching too. So they are getting better at when someone asks an open-ended question, interpreting that and offering branded or unbranded responses, whoever has the best content as an answer to that question. But it's all in development still. It's all going to be continuously evolving, getting smarter all the time, informed by the usage too. So as time progresses, we hope to see it get better at making plugging those answers together. But for the time being and really the foreseeable future, you've got to promote these things and make people aware it exists.
Fantastic. Thanks for, thanks for giving some insightful knowledge here and also useful knowledge that companies and also just users can maybe also develop in their company or with their brand. I think it's a lot about branding, and we're all at day one at the moment, and it further needs to develop. And I think it's a great step to see that there's still an interlink between different platforms. Maybe just as like one of the final questions, what do you think is going to come next in the voice field? I mean, you have a very good eye on it. Your company's moving towards it. You see the whole field moving towards it. What do you think is going to be the next steps? How can companies prepare for it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a whole bunch of different next steps. I really think that'd be like going back to, I don't know, 2008, 2009 and saying, what's the future of mobile? And the truth is, mobile went everywhere and we started doing everything with it. And I think we'll see quite the same in voice. It's going to, as we were saying before, one of the big evolutions is going to be the spread from these discrete speakers from out into the general IoT ecosystem around us, cars, appliances in the home, workplaces, hotels, everything around us becoming a touch point where a user can invoke a voice platform. And then it really becomes about convincing them that they ought to and what to ask for. So that spread of access is happening incredibly quickly and is going to continue to trend that way. And then you brought up earlier, BMW is an example of one who are launching their own in-car platform, but then also making both Alexa and Google accessible. I think we'll continue to see evolution in that space of domain-specific assistance or domain-specific middleware, I'll call it. You can see examples of this. Alexa for Hospitality is a specific program that Amazon offers that helps with use cases specific to hotels, bed and breakfasts, things of that nature. Alexa for Business supports specific features that are relevant for use in the office. And then there's lots of independent platforms. On the hospitality front, there's a great technology called Valera, who make integrating into the property management systems of hotels and hospitality properties much easier and really streamline some of that experience design. What BMW is doing in the car is a great example. We expect to see more evolution from other partners who streamline some of those integrations for specific contexts where voice will exist. And then for us, that just gets more and more exciting because it takes some of the legwork off of us for building the infrastructure and then instead frees us up to think about where we can optimize an experience, what we can deliver that's a little special. So I think you'll see that spread of access, you'll see more domain-specific evolution, and then certainly we're already seeing much of the search volume go there. But I think even though today the voice commerce numbers that we've seen reported are quite small, we see that particularly for relatively low consideration categories for a lot of CPGs, a lot of grocery brands, things like that, we expect to start seeing a migration of commerce volume move into voice in the next couple of years, certainly. So right now we're sort of laying the groundwork with clients for that. It's not a place where we expect to see massive volume in the next 6 months, say, but we're certainly working with a number of clients on a strategy that gets them out ahead of it because they agree with us that in the coming years, it's going to be an important channel for sales and for customer engagement after that initial purchase to try and build loyalty.
Great. I mean, of course, it's also a lot about speed. And as you say, it's very broad and it touches a lot of different industries and fields. I also think the whole gaming esports field will be touched by voice, that you can maybe exchange players via voice and you don't need to touch any buttons anymore in any esports game. So I think there will be lots of places to observe the market, and you are at the forefront of it, which is great, and it's great to chat about it. Maybe a final question here: like, of course, people are always interested in articles or whatever to follow up on it, and maybe also to get in touch with Vayner or and you in some regard if German companies or generally international companies are interested in connecting. What do you follow on? Like, what are your like go to articles, go to blogs, or whatever? Or how do you keep being updated on the whole voice field, and how can the community help, or how can the community can get in touch with Vayner or yourself to deep dive on voice, maybe for their brands? Just as two final questions.
Sure. Yeah. So to start with sources, honestly, the Alexa developers blog is fantastic. Paul Kutzinger heads up the education for developers on their front. And even for non-coders, just for folks who are interested in understanding the dynamics of the space, it's really a great clearinghouse where a lot of their posts, some of them are somewhat technical and can be really valuable for people who actually want to dive into the coding, but a lot of them are more about the theory in the space and the evolution of what's happening. So I spend a lot of time going through those pieces, really recommend them. And then actually, for those who are interested in the podcast side, which probably overlaps a lot with the audio audience, I find the Internet of Things podcast to be really helpful. It's got a more broad look at the IoT ecosystem, they do quite a lot of the future from a hardware perspective of voice. But when you think about voice in the context of that bigger ecosystem, and Stacey Higginbotham and Kevin Toefel, who are the hosts of that podcast, are really have great perspective on where all of this is going. So I think the two of those can be really nice sources. Yeah, those can be really helpful. And then in terms of contacting us, certainly there's a direct contact form on VaynerMedia.com that anyone can go to, or following me on LinkedIn. We post about much of our activity in the space, always happy to engage in conversation. So yeah, always happy to chat further if anyone's interested in following up.
Fantastic. Great. Lots of very insightful insights as a couple of words. thanks a lot, Patrick. Really enjoyed chatting with you. And I think there was lots of stuff that could be very interesting to our listeners, especially since we are a very voice niche oriented podcast. So thanks a lot for your time again. Sorry that we did a little longer, but I think it was just great. And let's connect soon again, and all the best from Germany. Are you still here?
Hey, Max, can you hear me?
Yeah, now you're back.
Hey, sorry, lost you for a second there. But yeah, thank you so much, too. Really enjoyed it and hope to chat again soon.
Cool, let's do it. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, bye.